It's been about 3 months since I've been in Colombia. Nothing much has happened with me personally, as Mr. Chalfant mentioned. All that happened was I finished and graduated college, went to 3 church summer camps, got married, went to a honeymoon, and moved. So realistically, it's been a pretty calm 3 months for me, but it's always good to get down here. Did you know that the average American will spend 90,000 hours of their life at work? That's 90,000 hours. In contrast, if you were born into church and you never missed a holy day service, you never missed a Sabbath service, and you lived to be 77 years old, you would only spend 16,000 hours at church. So that's 90,000 hours at work, but 16,000 at church. Oftentimes, people try to separate their work and their religion. And while certainly on smaller tasks, we can separate them. For instance, your religion might not need to be involved in, you know, what cubicle you pick or how you file a certain report your boss wants. But when we look at it maybe from 30,000 feet and the scope of our career, our religion suddenly becomes a little more involved. The Bible is full of advice on how we should approach our work and our career. Today, we're going to look at 3 examples of biblical career advice in the Bible. If you take your Bible and please turn to Exodus 18. And that's Exodus 18. Now, if your Bible is like mine, you may have a heading here that says Jethro's Advice or Jethro Visits Moses. We're going to pick things up here in verse 5. Says, and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. Now he had said to Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her 2 sons with her. So we see here Jethro is basically letting Moses, he probably needs to sweep the tent, put up the air mattress, whatever he needs to do. He's letting him know that he's coming to town. Then we see Moses greets him in verse 7. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down and kissed him, and they asked each other about their well-being, and they went into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them on the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. Basically, we see Moses catching Jethro up on the events of Exodus. Maybe he's given him the rundown of the Red Sea. We don't know for sure, but we can assume he probably included it. And as we continue in the passage, we basically see a day in the life of Moses here. So if we skip down to verse 13, we get into the day. And so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, what is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? Maybe Jethro wanted to go play golf that afternoon. I'm not sure. But nevertheless, Jethro is noticing that Moses is literally working from day until night. Then we see in verse 19, Jethro lets Moses know he's going to go ahead and give him some advice. He says, listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God, and you shall teach them of the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk and the work which they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men such that fear God and are men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such of them to be rulers of the thousands, hundreds, fifties, and the tens. Jethro is telling Moses how to delegate tasks. Nobody can do everything on their own, including Moses. The Bible teaches us to delegate. Delegating means splitting up your tasks. Now, maybe your work situation, you're not necessarily in charge of that, but still, you can delegate tasks amongst your own personal time if need be. But delegating tasks prevents burnout. Moses literally worked from sunup to sundown. While I'm sure Moses cared about each case he judged, there's no doubt he was surely tired at some point during the day. Delegating our task helps us manage our time better. It helps us promote growth for ourselves and within our company. Now, you may be saying, well, Andy, I'm, we'll say, 65, right, retired. How is this relevant to me? Well, maybe if you're older and retired, you can look at the Jethro's example. Jethro, like we said in verse 19, is pretty clear with Moses that he's going to give him advice. He doesn't just start telling Moses what he thinks he should do. He lets Moses know, I'm going to tell you something here, and you should probably listen. And Jethro, upon observing that his advice was followed, and we see that in verse 26, says, so they judged the people at all times, the hard cases they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. Jethro clearly sees that his advice has worked. And in verse 27, we see Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went on his way to his old land. Now, I'm not saying every person who's retired needs to get out of town. But what I am saying is Jethro gave his advice, saw that it worked, and decided that it was best for him to stop he decided to leave, but you don't have to decide to leave. Jethro doesn't helicopter around and try and make sure that his advice is being followed, and he doesn't constantly remind him every moment to do his advice. He sees that it works, and he gets out. If you turn your Bibles to Proverbs 6, and that's Proverbs 6, verse 6. We're going to look at our second career lesson we can find in the Bible. And that's Proverbs 6, verse 6. And it says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. With having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. I believe this lesson goes multiple ways. One way we could look at it is simply financially. While times are plentiful in the summer, the ant makes sure to harvest as much as they can to save for the times when food is not as abundant. We can do the same when it comes to work. When we know times are good and the money is good and the work is good, we should make sure to save and be smart and responsible with our money. That way, when times aren't as good and maybe work isn't as plentiful, we have a safety net that we can fall back on. The other thing that we can see is the ant being proactive. The ant works without having a boss with it all the time. Nobody likes to be micromanaged, but some people, and I would argue to say most people, at least like to have a manager around. Now, I've worked for managers who do like to micromanage, and I've worked for managers who have a bit more of a hands-off approach. The reality is, you're going to work for people who are both. Sometimes, with someone who's hands-off, expectations aren't clear, or maybe they just expect you to have the initiative. We need to make sure that we follow the ant's example of being proactive. For instance, imagine there's a project at work that maybe nobody's taken ownership of yet. Maybe people are hesitant to work on because they know it's not really the main goal, but you know it needs to get done eventually. We can be the one to step up and maybe take a lead and make a presentation about it. We can be the one that our boss doesn't have to worry about telling to get the basic types of tasks done. When we aren't proactive, we set a bad example. Please turn to Colossians 3, verse 23. It's Colossians 3, verse 23. This kind of leads us into our third point about setting a poor example. We're actually going to read Colossians 3, verse 22 and 23. And starting in verse 22 here, it says, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as man-pleasers, but in sincerity of the heart and fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Paul is telling us here to make sure what we do it with our heart. We need to make sure that we put a full effort into what we're doing. It's very easy to fall back into a more laid-back role in today's society, and it's often extremely tempting to cut corners in our work. Now, it is important to mention there is a difference between cutting corners and optimizing your time. if you're, you know, I don't need to attach the title page to that report. My boss doesn't usually look at that. Versus, hey, we don't need to use this format anymore. It's outdated. One of those is saving time, and one of those is probably cutting a corner. But Paul's also reminding us that we don't just serve man. We serve God. If we cut corners, we might end up looking lazy. We don't want to look lazy and represent God. We may develop a reputation for ourselves. For the people in church at work, you probably have had the situation where it comes up where somebody might be a little upset that you get off every Saturday. And while most jobs, hopefully you never have to deal with that, there are times when it comes up. And if you don't do full quality work with your entire heart, maybe people will begin to notice. They may notice that, you know what, Jimmy over there in accounting, he gets off every Saturday. He never has to come in and do extra work. He also gets those random days off in the spring. And he takes that vacation in the fall, and they never really seem to give him much trouble for it. You know what? And he never really even does good quality work. What's the point of keeping him around? We can prevent this if we make sure to do our work with our heart, and we make sure to represent God as best we can by doing good work. In conclusion, brethren, the Bible offers timeless advice on how we approach our careers. It was relevant to the people it was given to, like Moses, and it's relevant to us now. Whether we learn to delegate, learn to give advice, learn to be proactive, or learn to work with our full heart and represent God in what we do, it's important that we take those lessons and apply them to seek a work-life balance with our faith.